And I'm really proud now to be part of this company whereby, based upon our business model, we are able to, you know, help those in countries similar to the one in which I grew up, where people may not have access to electricity or they may be affected by a natural disaster. And again, you know, our lights provide not only light, but many of them also provide mobile charging capabilities, which is essential, you know, in the time of a natural disaster.
We simply make products for people. And if you make a product for someone that they enjoy using, high design, not necessarily a high price, that person will utilize that product and it will be good for them, their community, and the environment.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us John Salinger, founder, and Sangha Jung, CEO of Empowered, the power of sun in your hands. Welcome, John and Sangha.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Since record keeping of temperatures, climates began in 1895, our temperatures in the U.S. have risen about 1.5 to 1.9 degrees. That doesn't seem such a big of a jump, say over 125 years. So why is it a big deal?
So happy to speak to that. Obviously, just small incremental change in temperature creates massive ocean rising. And I think some of the data suggests a couple of degrees and we're all underwater. So that is not insignificant at all. That would be the new math.
And what has impacted this change in general? What happened over the last so many years to bring about these increases in temperature?
You can go on ExxonMobil's website and they'll tell you that it's obviously known by the scientific community that humans are impacting this change, emissions, mm-hmm. in particular CO2.
What about, like, people say you must recycle, you do all these on your individual levels, but what I have read is there are 5 or 6 companies worldwide which contribute to the majority of the greenhouse gases that we have in our environment today.
I would say that it's several countries that are the major contributors based upon their insatiable demand for resources and for products and services that require resources in order to, you know, create them. The globe is such that there is inequity in resource distribution. The output of some countries mm-hmm. directly impacts, you know, how we're all able to live.
So, John, you started Empowered, right? What did you do before?
This is going to be a long podcast. I did a lot. I worked at a tech company. I worked at a finance company. I worked in fashion photography. I ran event spaces and nightclubs in New York City and Times Square. I've done a slew of different things. You know, I worked for Associated Press and ABC News. So I've sort of seen marketing, sales, operations, finance, and that sort of enabled me to do something that was much more purposeful for me, something that was much more meaningful for me. Mm-hmm. So I took the skill sets that I learned along the way and then decided to found a B Corp and benefit corporation, utilize those skill sets to do good, but also to bring some meaning to my life and my existence. A short existence on this planet.
So were you always an innovator growing up, trying to tinker with things and do stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to tell you that I created the newest form of lemonade when I was a 3-year-old, but I didn't. You know, for me, it was more a progressive upbringing by my parents. I do owe a ton to them on people and planet, and I speak on that any chance I get.
How was it different?
I was brought up in such a way, I was a different generation where you sort of fend for yourself as a kid. I was a 4th child, so, you know, maybe I was there, maybe I wasn't, didn't matter. They were professionals at that point and realized the less attention, the better. And certain, both were psychologists, actually. But in terms of, you know, how my upbringing was either different or not, you know, my parents grew up in a time and marched in the 60s, et cetera, and felt that you're not here alone and you have to take care of your home, and your home being your planet. And they instilled that. at that time how different that was in terms of parenting. I think it was probably generally known and popular parenting. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that might be coming back now, hopefully. But I do think it resonated with me. My mother, you know, worked on grants for abused public school kids, as an example, and got millions of dollars. My father was the head of science for the American Psychological Association. So they did sort of these macro, progressive, social, impactful programming for their entire careers. I don't know if they ever sat me down and said, you know, people and planet, but they definitely led by example and it resonated. And mm-hmm. when I found it empowered, I felt meaning. And I'm sure that is why that was ingrained at a young age.
As a parent, I was wondering, because, you know, we all know the millennial Gen Zs are so conscious about the environment, about social, environmental, economic impacts they have. So I was wondering, did we do something right? Did we do something wrong as a parent? What created that? And I just wanted to see, you're from a different generation, but have pretty strong values in along the same lines. And so when did you start Empower?
That was July in 2012.
Tell me a little bit about the impetus. Did you innovate? Did you create the products? How did it start?
40 iterations of the first product that I worked with co-founder on. And it was challenging at first because I hadn't been in product specifically before. But I had gone to Haiti and saw challenges that people that aren't as lucky or fortunate as I was. I grew up on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and although it was a little shakier of a neighborhood than it is now, and we are all fine sort of in the West in general, not all of us, but most of us. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, you know, at the time, seeing in our hemisphere, seeing the state of life, actually, mm-hmm. In Haiti was very difficult for me. And so actually being there right after the earthquake, seeing the sort of global neglect that the country has and still faces to this day, which has caused inner turmoil, et cetera, plus a natural disaster. It was devastating. You know, I've said it many times, but you don't need a focus group. You just need a heart and a soul, and you need some morality, and you need to understand that, you know, there's a few areas that we take for granted. So whether it's, you know, technology or transportation or food or health or water or light or energy in our case, you know, any of those areas that we take for granted, what we're doing here today requires almost all of those. And we're in good health because of all of those. And so when you go to a place like Haiti, which is so close to us on the island of Hispaniola, and you see the impact on human beings that aren't as lucky in terms of where they were born, you almost have to do something or you absolutely get affected. Mm-hmm. What you do with that, you know, is your own choice. But for me, I had to do something. And light was an energy, was an opportunity that I thought we could subsidize through sales in a developed market into emerging markets such as Haiti, Sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, Central and South America.
So what was this first product?
The first product was Lucy Original, right? And it was our first product. And it was a simple solar light, but there were a couple of dynamic changes to it. There are tons of lanterns in the market. Coleman is an example, a massive global company. However, you know, most lanterns you have to hold upright because the kerosene, et cetera, or they have issues with moving parts and components, or they're not IP67, waterproof. Mm-hmm. They're not compactable. They're heavy. They're hard to ship, especially into the last mile or to an emergency response and preparedness. So we changed all of that. And we created an inflatable solar light, no moving parts, maintenance-free, long-lasting, that solved a human problem and averted CO2.
So when you say inflated, like I blow on it, like I would blow on a inflatable tube?
But you can inflate it. It's pretty simple. It's technology like a raft. You simply inflate it. It becomes larger. There are different diffusions on all of our lights. We have, you know, 15 SKUs. And at this point, the company has grown into speakers, into smart lights, into all sorts of string lights, all sorts of other lights. But they're all transformative. And they all have this opportunity to sort of change and give a wow factor to the consumer. Because we do make products for people. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone likes a nice feel and a good product, a product that frankly makes you happy and gives you social capital because you'll use it.
Did you create this product? Did you innovate? How were you the inventor?
I wasn't the inventor listed on the first product. That was Jason Snyder. However, every product since I'm an inventor on, and since Chitunga joined the company, she's been an inventor on every single product since we've been working together. And that's been phenomenal based on her background as well, which I'm sure we'll get into because it's really relevant. But it is sort of, it's an ideation, it's a blue sky, it's innovation, it's problem solving. The technology is out there, and what we're really good at at Empowered is aggregating that technology. Mm-hmm. We're not creating the newest NASA rocket. You know, we're just improving upon and aggregating technologies that are in the world today.
So Sangha, when did you come on board? Did you join in 2012 or at a later point in time?
I joined at a later point in time, so I'm coming up on my fifth year anniversary in July, but I was brought into the company after a series of other CEOs. Mm-hmm. As John alluded to, my background is somewhat relevant in that I was born into what was then an emerging market, and I did not have access to electricity or running water in our own home. We did use kerosene lights, lanterns at home. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud now to be part of this company whereby, based upon our business model, we are able to, you know, help those in countries similar to the one in which I grew up, where people may not have access to electricity or they may be affected by a natural disaster. And again, you know, our lights provide not only light, but many of them also provide mobile charging capabilities, which is essential, you know, in the time of a natural disaster.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in South Korea, but it was before South Korea became a tiger economy, and I grew up along the coast. You know, it was very, very different during that time. You know, there were no cars and no indoor plumbing. The country is vastly different now, but mm-hmm. there are still many parts of the world that look very similar to where I grew up.
You mentioned that you are a B Corp. What is a B Corp?
Yeah, so a B Corp is an organization that's certified by bcorporation.net, and it's a for-purpose company. And every year you are, or every 2 years actually, you're looked at as to your internal values and how you, you know, lay those out in your company with your staff and your consumption of electricity, or, and then also what is your impact on the world at large? That's weighed out and sometimes investigated and ensured that you get a score that is equivalent to those around you or measured in an equivalent way to those around you. Mm-hmm. You know, we're pleased to have excellent scores every year. We've improved every year, and we were a B Corp from the very beginning. So although we're not Ben and Jerry's or Patagonia, we are sort of a pioneer in the industry. We're really pleased to sort of lead that movement. I mean, we should also probably talk about Benefit Corporation. Maybe Sangha can allude to that because that's equally important.
Right. So what are the values, Sangha, that Empowered brought forth to be able to be certified as a benefit corporation?
So the benefit corporation is a legal status we have as a company in addition to being a regular LLC. In terms of the benefit corporation, we are legally upheld to certain standards for our stakeholders and our shareholders. And those standards, you know, include everything from environmental sustainability to community diversity. There are a whole host of metrics that we look at. And again, being a benefit corporation undergirds these values by saying that, you know, in addition to traditional profit, mm-hmm. we as a company are upholding these values to be as important as, you know, what we generate in terms of profitability.
So there is this B Corporation, which is certified by B Lab, and then there is the Benefit Corporation. So you are both. Was it a lot of paperwork? Was it cumbersome to do it? Because often we have other listeners or entrepreneurs who want to become a benefit corporation. It sort of gives you a pathway to thinking about sustainability and different issues. So did it require a lot of paperwork?
We did both of these from the beginning. You still have to register with the state as something. You still have to register federally. And so you just choose that instead. The benefit corporation is not difficult at all. And being a B corporation, it's a 2-year responsibility. Mm-hmm. If your company is doing the right thing, it's pretty easy. If your company isn't, it's not as easy. And that's okay.
And I think since you started it, like right from the beginning, you didn't have to sort of retrofit it. When you started, you had sort of things in place than going back and saying, oops, we should look at our suppliers or we should, you know.
One thing to know quickly is that B-Lab is actually responsible for a lot of the benefit corporation structure that has rolled out via various states. As John mentioned, we were truly a guinea pig in obtaining both at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And the majority of B Corps still do not have a benefit corporation status, but that's because the state legislation is still forthcoming. But that is a movement that is growing.
Yeah, some states don't have a benefit corporation.
Exactly. But I think the main reason why this is happening is, again, the focus on stakeholders and shareholders. Being in a private sector business, there has been a lot of change that we've all experienced and we've all instigated as corporations and businesses. But we are finding that the larger ecosystem of investors, of service providers, of others who may be stakeholders in our businesses, that ecosystem has not yet evolved to the same degree. Mm-hmm. And so this benefit corporation status allows us to make sure that that's front and center, you know, whenever we have conversations with investors and other stakeholders.
Empowered stands for micro power design. What does that mean?
Yeah, so it's micro, it's an acronym, right? So micro pseudo acronym. It's micro is personally owned. You have ownership of something, and that's really important when it comes to energy, we believe, which is different than paying for your energy as you go. So when you have a Lucy light, you have your own light and you just have the sun, which is abundant. So personally owned. Mm-hmm. Micro power is obviously for us solar, but it's also empowering as the play on the full name. And then design, it's both functionality, right? A strong functionality, but also that high design I alluded to earlier that really is important. We simply make products for people. And if you make a product for someone that they enjoy using, a high design, not necessarily a high price, that person will utilize that product and it will be good for them, their community, and the environment.
I remember buying a solar lamp in the early 90s. This is just a garden path light. And the light was so minimal. The lumens was such a dim light. And of course, I didn't use it after some time because it didn't really serve. Has the technology changed and evolved since then? And does it give the same amount of light as a LED powered by electricity or a normal bulb powered by electricity?
Our lights range in terms of lumens. So we do use solar panels with, you know, high efficiency output. We use batteries that are large enough to retain this energy. We have lights that upon a single full charge can last up to 50 hours or more, which is pretty substantial if you're taking these lights, you know, camping, that's several nights worth, or again, in the case of a natural disaster. So I would say the technology has evolved. Also, many of our lights have USB charging capabilities. So if you do not have enough sun before you're going on your camping trip, for instance, you can simply charge the light in your car while you're driving to your destination. So we've innovated quite a bit around technology because we do understand that our lights are being used in some pretty adventurous and rugged set of circumstances. So design and functionality are very important, and we continue to kind of push that envelope when it comes to technology. Mm-hmm. Just one last thing to note in terms of the breadth of our product innovation. You know, John has mentioned our traditional lanterns, starting from the inflatable versions. But we also have products like, you know, the world's first solar modular bike light set. So it's a front and a rear bike light that charge together. They're held together by magnets. And then, of course, you know, you can put them on the front and back of your bike, and it's also rechargeable via USB. So a lot of our innovations are pushing outside of the sphere of just the lantern, using some of the technology that we've discovered and we're continuing to incorporate.
50 hours on a lantern is a big jump, because I remember being in camp in India in, I want to say, 2001 or so, and the solar lanterns that was available there on that camp, it would just give us enough light, say, from dusk to bedtime, you know, just for you to have your dinner, and then they had to put it out for it to charge and do that. So that's pretty commendable that the technology has changed so much, and it actually is useful for multiple days with charging, and combined with that, for it to be charged with a USB.
I think you raise a really good point, though, we should address. So the garden light that you're talking about is a very sort of small light with a very small battery and a very small solar panel and a very low output of light, mm-hmm. and a low price, actually. So it's generally to light up or to define a path in your garden. And so that can be anywhere from 5 to 10 lumen. Our lights go up to 360 lumens, so you can see the difference. Pun intended, I guess.
So I'm trying to visualize your company. How do these innovations happen? You know, I do love the bike light. I'm just thinking that I should probably get this as a gift for a friend of mine who bikes around the city. So how do you think about these things? Do you acquire these innovations, or do you sit down with a drawing board and do all these things yourself in-house?
Oh, we go to their camp and we ideate. I'm just kidding. I'll let Sangha answer because I think it's really important. Sangha, as a female, having her name on a number of USPTO patents is really exciting for me and for us as a company. Mm-hmm. And it's just fantastic to work with her as it was with, you know, the original inventor as well. It's a shared experience. It's we versus me. And inventions come out of, you know, critical conversations and thought and, you know, is something commercializable, et cetera. But I think Sangha should speak to that, what our process is.
So our process is internal, and it's a lot of dialogue, as John mentioned. A lot of the ideas originate from one of the two of us through conversations, through some of our travels, actually meeting our consumers, whether again on the emerging market side or, you know, through visits with key retailers and sales staff members, etc. Mm-hmm. What John alluded to as well, though, is that less than 5% of US patent holders are women. So there's a huge disadvantage that seems to be systematic when it comes to new inventions. And there was actually, I believe it was either a Yale or a Brown University study that tracked this. Mm-hmm. So within our company, we try to be as inclusive as possible. So in addition to John and myself, we have had other team members join in the ideation process and also contribute key form factor elements, et cetera, to our products. And so we do have some co-inventors also named on some of our patents. But to us, it all starts internally. And what's really critical is to understand the needs of our consumers, mm-hmm. understand, you know, the keys to all the technology that we have internally, and then to work very closely with all of our various stakeholders to really come up with product that is ins-